Our gospel resurrection story comes from the Gospel of John today. Early on the first day of the week, while it was still dark, Mary Magdalene came to the tomb and saw that the stone had been removed from the tomb. So she ran and went to Simon Peter and the other disciple, the one whom Jesus loved, and said to them, "They've taken the Lord out of the tomb, and we do not know where they have laid him." Then Peter and the other disciple set out and went toward the tomb. The two were running together, but the other disciple outran Peter and reached the tomb first. He bent down to look in and saw the linen wrappings lying there, but he did not go in. Then Simon Peter came, following him, and went into the tomb. He saw the linen wrappings lying there, and the cloth that had been on Jesus' head, not lying with the linen wrappings, but rolled up in a place by itself. Then the other disciple who reached the tomb first also went in, and he saw and believed. For as yet they did not understand the scripture that he must rise from the dead. Then the disciples returned to their homes. But Mary stood weeping outside the tomb. As she wept, she bent over to look into the tomb, and she saw two angels in white sitting where the body of Jesus had been lying, one at the head and the other at the feet. They said to her, "Woman, why are you weeping?" She said to them, "They have taken away my Lord, and I do not know where they have laid him." When she had said this, she turned around and saw Jesus standing there, but she did not know that it was Jesus. Jesus said to her, "Woman, why are you weeping? Whom are you looking for?" Supposing him to be the gardener, she said to him, "Sir, if you have carried him away, tell me where you have laid him, and I will take him away." Jesus said to her, "Mary." She turned and said to him in Hebrew, "Rabboni," which means teacher. Jesus said to her, "Do not hold on to me, because I have not yet ascended to the Father. But go to my brothers and say to them, I am ascending to my Father and your Father, to my God and your God." Mary Magdalene went and announced to the disciples, "I have seen the Lord." And she told them that he had said these things to her. This is our story.
Christ has died, Christ is risen, Christ will come again. Christ has died, Christ is risen, Christ will come again.
So the question is, this is our story. That's the theme. That's the theme of this section of this service. The story, our story, from creation to Jesus to now. So what is your story? How, the question for me, for you, is how have you seen Jesus? And I'm going to give you two ways that I've seen Jesus. And part of it stems from the book I read, God Created, because in that, the refrain in that is, and there's so much more, and there's so much more. So think about where you've seen Jesus, and if you can't remember one or you need to see Jesus, pray for that. That's what the choir sang, sweet Jesus, say amen. Amen means truly, truly. Jesus, come, show me where you are. Call out my name. So here are my two stories. And they have to do with St. Leo's Catholic Church. So that's in Tacoma. I pulled out this, you know, I have a big file cabinet full of files where you think, well, I'm never going to look at those. Well, here we go, St. Leo's, Religion 491, the Church and Social Ministry, spring of 1987. 30 years ago. I was a younger man then. So I had to look, and I made some journal entries, and I found one that looked like it didn't have any swear words in it, because, you know, I may have, as a student, may have been more, think I had it all figured out. Well, anyway, but so this is on St. Leo's worship. And this is what I wrote, because this is part of my story. St. Leo's worship, February 22nd. This is the first entry for this function. As I come to Mass more and more, I realize that this community is really living up to the second claim St. Leo's makes about a community, that is, a servant community. A belief in Jesus as acted out in service to Tacoma, particularly the surrounding neighborhood there in the Hilltop area, makes this community an instrument of justice, love, and peace. The belief is most certainly empirically validated, as can be seen by the numerous programs connected with the church, and more importantly, existentially validated in the context of faith when sharing in the mass of this diverse and unique community. And I'm using big college words there, apparently, because it was for a professor. This was the appeal for me. The variety of people all coming together for celebration of God, revealed and shared and reacting to that revelation. Here's the young Eric. I would challenge anyone to come to worship with me and then deny that the Spirit of God does exist and works through that community. I would challenge anybody. I might not say that. Well, I'd probably still say it. But as I worship there each Sunday, there is such harmony in the diverse crowd and the power of the Spirit. For example, in the choir several Sundays ago, there was a black lady, a middle-class white woman with her child, a street person, and a man who has Down syndrome. That was a very diverse group of individuals. Yet their sound was so beautiful, as if coming directly from heaven, if one could comprehend that. That was such a moving experience. You could see, hear, feel God then. God is love. I can really feel this here at this parish. God acting through the meal of love, which the congregation embraces. God shining in the accepting faces around me as I worship. And the love which is shared as the people of this community transcend the intercommunal portion of St. Leo's and reach out as a servant community, first to the neighborhood, but even more so the Tacoma area and the world beyond, the mere building of what may be seen as the church. One last comment, but certainly for me, the foundation of my faith and connection with St. Leo's has to do with Bill. This guy has been the most influential human being on my life since I have existed. There is a certain air about him which smacks with whatever God may be. He's from the L'Arche community near St. Leo's, which is a community for mentally differently abled folk. One example of how profound this individual is was dealing with the Eucharist. The wine and the bread were consecrated and they were distributing it. Father Carroll gave the wafer to Bill, which he almost playfully snatched from his hand with his mouth, as might a pigeon, and then went to the cup, took a swig and handed it, the cup to the next person behind him, saying simply, "Here." His faith seemed so simple, yet I learned so much from his actions because he is so incredibly authentic. And although one may not be able to carry on a theological conversation with him, one can know that he carries with him the true faith, a faith of simplicity, honesty, and meaning, as it glows from his very simple just being. So that was a journal. Bill was a key influential person. In fact, I joined St. Leo's. You know, I always like to say I went to PLU and became Catholic, because that's exactly what happened. I joined St. Leo's Catholic Church. And as I was joining, another powerful part of my story, our story, was at the vigil. At the Easter vigil at St. Leo's, it's the first time I had experienced the vigil there. And so it was in the evening, and we heard all of the readings, and it was glorious. And part of the vigil is, if you are new to Christianity or new to Catholicism, you know, you take a class, which I took for a year. And being a religion major, I thought I knew everything. Turns out I don't know everything. I still don't know everything. But you don't get to have communion until you've completed that class. And your first communion experience is at the vigil. So for me, vigils are a very powerful time to be a Christian, because when communion came, we would be separated and learn about the faith. And then at the vigil, that's when you receive communion for the first time. It's also when people are baptized. It's one place that you have many baptisms. So in that particular time, there were six people who were being baptized. And in our second service at the 11 o'clock, we're going to have two kids be baptized. So that's going to be cool for our church here to experience that. But this is the most intense baptism I've ever seen so far. So one of the people who was in my learning group was an 88-year-old man, and he had just been freshly married for 6 months. So his wife was a member, and he was becoming a member. And, you know, he... At that time, 88 seemed old 30 years ago. Now, that doesn't seem old, but it seemed old then, especially when I'm 22. So how they do baptism there is they have this big feeding trough, and the person goes in and is completely dunked in and then comes out a new baptized child of God. So when it became Frank's turn, I'll just call him Frank because I can't remember his name. I can't remember his name. So he's just raring to go. He just wants to go. He wants to go. And he goes in there and Father Carroll dunks him all the way down. And when this 88-year-old man comes out of this water sopping wet, you know, he's wearing a white robe, and it's just drenched, and it's just like it's a new skin. This white robe is like a new skin, and he comes out of the water, and he takes that heavy, heavy step out, and everyone is clapping, and it's glorious. I mean, he almost makes the Jesus pose, because he's like, I'm here. I have arrived. I am a baptized new child of God. I know God loves me and I love this place. An 88-year-old man. It was glorious. It was glorious. And it goes on and it goes on and it goes on, because this is our story and it continues. So that's the question for the vigil as we wait for Jesus. That's the question I leave with you for the week. Where have you seen Jesus? And if it's been a while, look around, because he's all over. Amen.